All glory be to Christ, our Lord, our King, and our Savior. Our last couple of weeks have been focusing on Jesus as our King, and then and King and our Lord. And this morning, I want to pay particular attention to Jesus as our long-awaited and much-needed Savior. Before we get into some of our texts this morning, I just was thinking about how you arrive at a name. Who, you know, your parents gave you your name, or however that came about. My name is Jordan, and it's nice to meet you. And my folks named me after the Jordan River and its biblical significance. They gave my brother Jachin his name because of some obscure king that they felt especially fond to. I'm not really sure, but with the last name Ickes or Ickles, whatever you want to call me, you have to be very cautious as to how you go about naming your kids. And so, you know, when it came time for us to name our children, we put an awful lot of thought into it. But we also were, you know, making sure that people knew how to spell it automatically, and so we kept it short and sweet, because I always have to spell my last name. I say, my name is Jordan, and then I just spell it out, I-C-K-E-S. I don't ever pronounce it, because then it turns out all kinds of crazy. So I just leave it alone, I say my name, and I spell the last name. That's just how it goes. In the Bible, everybody that seems to get a name, there's a reason why they get their name. If you think of the story of Moses, you remember Moses, he was put into the Nile River because he was trying to be protected from his from this law from Pharaoh to kill all of these male-born Jewish boys, Israelites. And so Moses was put in this ark, this little mini basket, basically, and he was floating in the river, and they drew him out of the water. The name Moses literally means to draw out. It turns out Moses then later would be the one that God uses to draw out the Israelites from slavery. If you go back a little bit further in the Bible, people get names for all kinds of exciting reasons. Sarah, she was really old and she had a baby. And when she was told she was going to have a baby, she just started laughing. And she was so excited and laughing so much that she named her kid Laughter. His name was Isaac. Isaac meant laughter. We have Jacob and Esau. When Jacob was born, they were twins. And when they were coming out, Jacob grabbed a hold of his brother's heel. They said, well, that boy just grabbed his brother's heel. Let's call him Heel Grabber. And Jacob got his name. How did you get your name? It's a curious question. It may be a good conversation starter when you're in the elevator and you want to be especially creepy. You know, how'd you get your name? A good conversation for all of us to know. When it came time for us to name our children, I felt especially like the task was especially difficult, because I was like, you know, the last time I had the opportunity to name something, I really screwed it up. I always screwed up the naming of things. We got gerbils when we were little, my brother and I. And the gerbils were, we believed, to be both males. And so I named mine Sparky, and I forget what Jacob named his, but mine was Sparky after Sparky Anderson, the great Detroit Tigers baseball coach. And so Sparky was my gerbil. Well, we came home one day, and there were several more gerbils in our cage, and it turns out, or hamsters, or whatever it was, I don't know, some small creature thing that we never played with. But we ended up having a female, and it ended up being Sparky, so I had to change Sparky's name to Sparkette. This is my naming ability. It's pretty subpar. To prove it further, all of my friends, and I've told you part of this story before about my dog that I had to name. I thought you named dogs after your favorite sport athlete, and so mine at the time was Michael Jordan. All my friends, they named their dogs like Probert after Bob Probert. You're not Red Wings fans, so I don't expect you to know that. And then there was a Gretzky dog, and I thought, okay, this is what you do. So I named my dog Michael Jordan, not realizing that we would just call him Michael, and that, you know, we would have to yell for Michael all the time, and it was just just silly, and you know, it was a terrible namer. And so when it came to the responsibility of naming my children, I was like, by golly, I really hope I don't screw this up. And it was a good thing Wendy's in my life, you know, she balanced out my, you know, ineptitude at naming. And so I think we've done all right. We have three children, so I had to do it three times, you know, and you bust out the books or you go on the internet and you try and figure out the meanings of names. For us, our third child, Audrey, was kind of like the easiest. I don't know why. We came across Audrey and we really liked it. Wendy had a young lady in, when she was coaching at Great Lakes volleyball, there was a young lady named Audrey, and in her first marriage, her husband served in Iraq, and he died in a roadside bomb in Iraq. And Audrey, since that time, she's remarried, and she's serving veterans in Chicago through physical therapy. And we just think the world of Audrey. And we looked up the meaning of Audrey, and it meant nobility and strength. And I thought, you know what? What a beautiful name, and to honor her and honor just the sacrifice that she shows every day to love and serve and care for others. I hope that my daughter would live into nobility and strength. For Ellie, it's not as romantic, I suppose, as much as Ellie, she is named after Wendy's middle name, Elaine, and my grandmother's middle name, Elaine. So my poor grandmother, I've never been able to say her name. I just always called her Nana. It was Beryl Elaine Eckes. So we went with Elaine, not the Beryl part or however you say it. B-E-R-Y-L-E. My lips don't say it. So you just call her Nana. But Elaine. And so Wendy didn't want Elaine. So we went with Ellie. And that's all that is. And it means beautiful. And if you see Ellie, of course she's beautiful. She's my daughter and she's better than your kids. And and then for Oliver. Oliver was born in 2009, and to say that that was the most difficult season of parenthood for my parents is an understatement. But I knew that a firstborn grandson would bring peace. And we were struggling. We had names out there like Owen and Oliver. I don't know why we settled on O's. When we read that Oliver was meant olive branch, which was a symbol of peace, I knew that Oliver would bring peace to my parents in the midst of heartache and hurt. And so when it came to naming my children, I thought an awful lot about what I wanted them to become. The story of Christmas is about this couple, Joseph and Mary. Mary being pregnant with child before Joseph and them are even yet married. And Joseph is, of course, upset. Certainly he felt betrayed. Certainly he felt like he had been duped and he had something coming to him. But he was a man of character and nobility himself. A man who was looking to divorce Mary quietly. Not making a spectacle, not embarrassing her, not bringing harm to her, but he was looking to do so quietly. In Matthew 1, 20 and 21, it tells us of a dream that Joseph has. Knowing that he was about ready to divorce her and separate, he receives this dream, a vision. And he says, now let's read it, 1:20. Says Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph didn't have to figure out the name that was given to him. They didn't have to thumb through all of the books and say, what, you know, there wasn't the what to expect when you're expecting back then. It was, this was a divine moment where God said, this is what you can expect. She is pregnant, and it's going to be a boy, and you're going to give him this name. Why does God give him the name Jesus? you might have a little note in your Bible, a little mark or something, and it'll say in your little note, it'll say that Jesus is the Hebrew transliteration of the name Joshua. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that the book of Joshua is in the Old Testament. It's after Moses has died. Moses has gotten the Israelites all the way to the point where they're ready to go in to the promised land. After a 40-year journey, after 400-plus years in Egypt, they're finally on the brink of entering in where God said, this is your promised land. And Moses, he doesn't make it. Joshua is the heir apparent. He was his assistant, and Joshua took up the task of leading the people through the Jordan River and into the promised land. Jesus, this might surprise you, was actually not a rare name in the first century world. Jesus is in the top 10. So was Judas, so was Simon. These guys that we, and so was John, these were popular names. Joshua meant conquering. It meant the Lord was working. Literally, Jesus' name means the Lord saves. So you can imagine, if you were a first century parent and you had your firstborn son and you wanted to give him a name, Jesus was actually a name on the list. It was like, yeah, we are a conquered people. We are under the rule and reign of the Roman Empire. We are depressed and discouraged. We have all sorts of problems, and we need God to do something. I'm going to name my kid Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord saves. And so there was anticipation and eagerness and hopefulness in the people that God would do something to redeem and save. And so when God says to Joseph, don't be afraid to take this woman to be your wife, and there she certainly, most certainly is pregnant, and you're going to give him the name of Jesus, he said. God was telling him, your son is going to act on behalf of God to deliver his people. And so then as you follow the story of Scripture, and you see Jesus is born, and you see him start into his ministry, he gets kick-started in his ministry by doing what? He's baptized in the Jordan River. The name starts to take on a little bit of more meaning. This guy is starting to enter into the story of the Israelites. He's going to deliver his people and save them from their sins. And sure enough, he does. And all the rest of the New Testament starts taking up this story about who Jesus truly is as the Savior of the world. And so my simple message to you this morning is meant to be an encouragement. That God was doing something through his son Jesus to seek and save what was lost, to redeem and save all of humankind. We have story after story in the New Testament of people who would interact with Jesus, people who were interacting with him that had no business interacting with him. In John chapter 4, we have the story of the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus talking with her and sharing with her, telling her about the living water, and then talks to her about her personal life and all of this stuff. And the woman, she leaves her interaction with Jesus, and she starts telling everybody in the community, hey, this guy's told me everything that I've ever done. He knows everything about me. And when it came time, at the end of, towards the end of the chapter, in John 4:42, They said to the woman, they realized this for themselves, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Just before that, in John chapter 3, we have the story of Jesus interacting with Nicodemus at night. And there's this beautiful commentary on the life and ministry of Jesus. It is the most familiar of passages to us, but incredibly important this Christmas Eve. That God sent his son into the world, his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And the second best verse is John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Word after word in Scripture points to Jesus as the long-awaited Savior that we all need. Paul says in Colossians 1:13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." All of this business about a name, there was a hymn, the first hymn that was probably ever written. We find it in Philippians 2. Did Jesus fulfill his name? Well, the first hymns seem to point that yes, Jesus did. Paul encourages the church with these words in Philippians 2. In relationships with one another, have the same attitude in mind that Jesus Christ had. And here's the first hymn that was written about Jesus, I think. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the most simple of questions to what I believe to be a simple message this morning, that Jesus lived into his name. If he was named the Lord Saves, everything Jesus did was for seeking and saving what was lost, to redeem and save each one of us. My simple challenge and encouragement this morning is to remember, all glory be to Christ, our Savior. That as we reflect on our lives and we come before God this morning, are you in need of forgiveness? Are you in need of a Savior to forgive you for what you have done? Are you in need of a leader in your life? Someone to call your Lord? Someone to trust in and walk faithfully with? Are you in need of a new king? One who will rule and reign over who you are and what you do? Will you find life and hope and ministry and fulfillment and encouragement and joy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ today? I've given my kids, or I plan to give them, a lot of gifts tomorrow morning. The tree is filled, and Grandma and Grandpa came in last night and filled it with more, and it turns out they brought their dog. It's not staying. I put a little teaser out there, but it's not happening. Wendy will shoot us. But there's an awful lot of gifts around our tree. And Oliver was already sorting through and counting, how many do I get? I had a little lecture this morning about appreciating what you have. I'm sure Oliver's tired of my lectures. I'm sure most of you are too. But I will continue to give them, I promise. A simple message and a simple illustration. You receive a gift, and what do you do if you truly enjoy it and appreciate it? You embrace it, you use it, you're thankful for it. There is a gift given to you this Christmas. It's the gift of a Savior. It's a gift of a Father who has loved you, sent you his Son, that you might have a new King, that you might have a new Lord, that you might have the Savior that you need. And so it's a simple challenge today. Would you embrace the gift? Would you thank God for it? And would you share the gift of a Savior with others? That's my hope for you this Christmas, that you would would come and believe and know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, a day to remember the salvation that we are given in your Son Jesus. God, that you have delivered us from the power of sin, that you have delivered us from the power of death, that in the great name of Jesus Christ, you have set the oppressed free, that today is the day of your favor, that today is the day of your gift for all of us. God, let us not quickly pass over the words that we truly need to hear this day. That is, that Jesus is our Savior, that you have saved and redeemed us through your work, through your love. And wherever our hearts are this morning, if we are far from you, draw us near. If we are hurting, heal us. If we are lost, find us. If we are close to death, renew us in you. For Lord, you are our Savior and our King. Be with all of us as we go from here to be a light into this world, sharing the gift of a Savior. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand and sing with us in response?